Streaming online, on your phone, and on your smart speaker. The Lisa Wexler Show is back on WICC 600.
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets.
Wow. Joining us now is Bobby Valentine, who will forever be associated with the great Mets franchise, the only team of any team in any sport that I've ever actually been a fan of. And that's because the 1969 Mets were just must-watching in my house when I was a kid. Bobby Valentine, however, is joining us today on the Lisa Wexler Show, not necessarily to talk sports, but to talk about the combat of running in a political campaign. He is facing off against Caroline Simmons, who recently won in an upset primary against the incumbent mayor, David Martin, who has now heartily endorsed his Democratic opponent, Caroline Simmons. She joined us last week. And now Bobby Valentine is with us on the Lisa Wexler Show, 203-333-9422, if you'd like to give us a call or ask a question. Hello, Mr. Valentine. Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Lisa, good morning. I hope you are well.
I am well. So let's go right into it, Mr. Valentine. Shall I call you Mr. Valentine I should just call you Bobby? All right, here we go. All right, Bobby, ready? Why should the voters choose you over your opponent, Caroline Simmons? What's the best argument for that?
It's a pretty easy decision, actually, Lisa, when you think that the Democratic Party decided that they needed a change. And when you think that a change is very hard to come from within your own party, you're just going to pass the baton to someone who's going to do the same thing, but look a little different while doing it. And when the city of Stamford, Connecticut is crying out for leadership to take us into the new world, the post-pandemic world, you obviously would want to have someone with leadership qualities and leadership experience to lead the way.
So in terms of post-pandemic, yesterday Fred Camillo in Greenwich decided that he was going to allow private businesses to decide whether or not they should force somebody to wear a mask. And he's no longer insisting that people wear masks in Greenwich Town Hall. If you become mayor of the city of Stamford, what's your position with respect to masks in this pandemic situation that we're in?
Well, I'll try to take the advice of those who are on the front line of the pandemic situation. But I could tell you this, Lisa, that since the pandemic started, there has been a situation in our city, in our state, in our country, where the lack of trust in leadership has caused this confusion, this separation, this idea that somebody is right and somebody else is wrong. And what we need to succeed, not only in the city moving forward, but in solving this crisis, because there'll be other pandemics to follow, is that we need to establish trust in our leadership so that you can have teamwork. Teamwork is what succeeds in life. And that's exactly what's missing at this time.
So if you think that teamwork is what it's about, if you become mayor of Stamford, what is the team that you envision putting together to run the city better than it's being run right now?
Well, remember, it's not only the team, but it's the trust in leadership. And I want to establish in our very diverse community that I've lived in all of my life, not really. I mean, I've lived in many other communities, but I've always called Stamford home, and I was born and raised here, obviously, and you know that whole routine, I will establish the fact that people can trust me, that when I make a decision and I'm asking people to follow, that there'll be a team of people in the community that will work together. And the team, the transition team that I just put together to help me find the best in breed and weed out the weak who in the established system is really reflective of our community. I mean, we have Democrats and Republicans and youths, women and men and young and old and all different races and ethnicities. And I believe that that team, along with my campaign team, will help me find the best in breed.
We're chatting with Bobby Valentine, who's running for mayor of the great city of Stamford at 203-333-9422. One of our callers asked me to ask you whether or not you would be willing to pledge not to raise the mill rate. She's a Stamford resident, obviously a Stamford voter, and she's very concerned about the mill rate as a homeowner in Stamford.
Yeah, of course, and so am I. Being I've been a homeowner for over 22 years in Stamford, and my family has owned a home here for about 110 years. So I am as concerned as she is, and that to make silly, and I've heard this too often in my lifetime, pledges and promises before you actually take the reins and start to govern, I think is irresponsible. And I'm not going to be irresponsible to make a pledge like that, but I could definitely say that her concerns are my concerns, and that I'm going to do everything I can to not only increase revenue from other sources other than the homeowner, and decrease as many expenses that I can find in the budget to alleviate some of the burden on our taxpayers.
Well, let me ask you something, Bobby Valentine. One of the most hotly debated issues in the Hartford legislature last year was the local zoning and the extent to which the state should exert control over zoning questions. The Democrats overwhelmingly in the legislature voted to relook at zoning, and they put in some controls that took the pendulum away from local control and gave it a more centralized state control. What is your view with respect to single family residential zoning? What is your view with respect to how the neighborhoods of Stamford should stay or change in terms of the future of Stamford?
Well, as I said, I grew up in neighborhoods in Stamford, and I've revisited them over the years, and I've seen how they have already changed. And I think that there needs to be much more demands on landlords to keep a neighborhood a neighborhood. If anybody has walked around and you say that the Democrats think it should be taken out of the local hands, well, maybe it should be taken out of the local hands who have been ruling the roost over the last decade or so, because the neighborhoods are destroyed. That the single-family house is now a six-family house, that our fire department and our people who are in uniform are frightened every day thinking about a fire that might break out because the basement has no exits and there has been no regulation put on the zoning of single-family houses that now have four, five, and six families living in them, to say nothing of the parking issue, that the idea of having a parking regulation in a single-family neighborhood that now is going to have five and six cars occupying the same driveway that was paved to occupy maybe two is a ridiculous way to try to go into the future. So, things need to be changed. And they need to be changed to protect the neighborhoods and make sure that the neighborhoods are livable for all who live there in a very safe way.
Yeah, I understand the overall goal. So I guess what I'm asking, we're chatting with Bobby Valentine, who's running for mayor of the city of Stamford, is do you think that the trend ought to be a trend that allows for more multifamily housing in existing neighborhoods where there hasn't been?
I think, again, that's so vague a question that I can't answer it specifically. The trend has been in this city, and I only could speak of Stamford, Connecticut, if you go to the Cove, if you go to Chepin, if you go to the west side and the water side of our towns, where the landlords have taken advantage of the lack of supervision on what they can or can't do, the neighborhoods are absolutely destroyed. And I am not in favor of destroying neighborhoods for any reason, but I am in favor of more housing and more affordable housing, more very affordable housing, so that our community could have people who not only live here, but work here and live here. People who can have transition housing that is affordable and that they're able to own it. To think that the way you move people up in the world is to have four people living in one bedroom is not, in my opinion, a success formula.
Yeah, well, I know that I asked something general, but those are the general guidelines that were actually passed in the recent zoning bills, and they were all about instituting more multifamily housing and accessory housing and other kinds of things in traditionally single-family development areas. So I just was curious about your thoughts about all this, because it just keeps coming up, and you know, and people care about their own street, and they care about their own vista, and they care about exactly what you said, that somebody next door is going to be putting up four units when they only have one, and they thought there was only going to be one. So it's it keeps coming up. We're chatting with Bobby Valentine, who's running for mayor of the city of Stamford. Bobby, did you happen to see recently that the people who run the schools in Stamford decided to do away with finals for the middle school and the high schools? Did you see that?
Yeah, midterms also.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did see that.
Yeah. Do you have an opinion about that? Some thoughts about that?
Well, you know, in all those decisions that are made, I believe our teachers need to have a real seat at the table. You know, if I've learned anything in the last 4 months in campaigning in the city that I love so much, is that the Board of Education is totally dysfunctional, that they can't even have a meeting without threatening to throw things across the table at each other. And these are the people who are making decisions for our children's future, and they act like children. So I think that things that are decided, in our city need to have not only common sense, but also people who are actually involved in the process, helping to make decisions in the process. And that's why, as I mentioned, my transition team is made up of former principals and educators, and I have had so much advice from my family members who are teachers in the city and administrators in the school system who are begging for proper guidance, not only for their safety, but for the education of our children.
Yeah. I mean, I have to tell you, as a mom and coming from a family of educators, I was absolutely stunned when I saw that come across. First of all, I thought it does a disservice to the kids in Stamford. And secondly, I just think it's bad policy. How do you not tell kids that they need to cram for an exam so that they finally really review and learn everything they're supposed to learn for the end of the year. I just think it was, I just was stunned by it, actually. And I don't think it, I think it's going to be something that they're going to regret having done. I really think it doesn't give the kids of Stanford enough credit for being able to do the work. And I just thought it was terrible, frankly, really like pandering in a way, just bad. So I was just wondering if you had any thoughts on it. We're chatting with Bobby Valentine because, you know, you grew up in Stanford schools. You got a superlative education. You also were an amazing athlete. I mean, you know, Stanford was a lot of the reason for the success that you've had in the world.
Stanford is all of the reason. Without not only the education, but the love and the caring that the community gave to me. And just, Lisa, for the record, I mean, I saw Carol and Mike Fedeli being honored by the American Cancer Society last night, and I've probably been at every charity and philanthropic event over the last 10 years in the city, and it's always the Stanford people who are always giving back. They're in the room. They're giving their time, their energy, their wherewithal to make our city, you know, as good as it could possibly be. And that idea of giving has got to start to spread to those who come to our city, not just pass through our city, but who make roots in our city. And that idea of housing has been a swing and a miss in our community, except for the 800 square foot to 1200 square foot apartment that people rent. And then they live there for a while. And then they leave when they grow up because they want to own something and they have no transitional housing in our community. Yeah. That's a little bit of a soapbox, but, and I don't think.
No, I see it. I happen to agree with
you.
If what you mean by transitional housing are lovely townhouse developments that have trees and sidewalks where people can get a foot in the door, that's how my husband and I started. We bought a townhouse and then we sold it and we traded up to an actual single family house many years ago. But I agree with you. I don't think that building these ugly boxes on 4 and 5 and 6 stories and giving people a key to a rental is in any way building wealth. It's only building wealth for the landlord. It isn't building a sense of community either. It's a completely different feeling to live in a place like that. I agree with you. I totally agree with you. Well, we're chatting with Bobby Valentine. I got one more thing to ask you. I want to thank you for your time.
Yes.
This comes from a listener who's a restaurateur, and he actually was writing about his frustration. He happens to be a restaurateur in Bridgeport. And he's writing that he is not a rich man, but his whole life and his whole savings were in his particular restaurant. And he's writing about something called the Restaurant Revitalization Fund, which he says is very underfunded and would provide a lifeline to him to be able to stay in business. He was writing to me to see if I could possibly help, if there's anybody I knew. But, you know, I'm asking you because you are a successful restaurateur. You want to be mayor of Stanford. What can we do for our restaurateurs? Do you know anything about this particular Restaurant Revitalization Fund? Do you know what he's talking about?
You know, I don't know specifically about the fund, Lisa, but, you know, owning a restaurant in Stanford, Connecticut for 38 years and, you know, signing the front of the check for people who are employed in my business over those years, as well as other small businesses that I had, I could tell you that the third largest employer in our city is our restaurant industry, behind the hospital and the city government itself. And we need to take care of those small businesses and restaurants in particular. And the revitalization bill is a short-term fix. You know, the long-term fix to every small business is hiring people who are proud to be part of the business that's growing, that give their best when they come to work, just like your city employees should. And the problem is, during this pandemic, that the employee has been underappreciated. whether it's a teacher, a fireman, a policeman, a civic worker, a restaurant employee, they've all been asked to do more and get less. And what we need to do is get these restaurants together and sharing ideas, advice, and maybe even dishwashers, so that there's a full-time job for a dishwasher, because he's going to three restaurants in one day and getting 2.5 hours at each restaurant, so that he brings home a real wage at the end of the week, rather than just that part-time wage, and share ideas and concepts and buying. They should be buying communally, you know, so that they get the best price for the daily goods. Should not be as competitive and crazy as it is within a city. I think our restaurant industry should compete against Norwalks and Bridgeports to keep people here. But I think that we should do everything together to try to enhance the business.
It sounds like Bobby Valentine, like you're very excited about the possibility of leading the city.
Lisa, I don't know if I've ever been more excited. One, it's a spectacular learning experience for me. And I know people say that means I don't have the experience. Well, you know, what I'm learning is about the people of our city. And it is a new city. Yeah, you have to understand that. I mean, we are as diverse as any city in New England. We have new people coming here by the month, more than any other city maybe in New England. And they're bringing new ideas and dreams and feelings. And it's great to understand what their dreams are. And my excitement is that maybe I could have a little part in fulfilling some of their dreams.
Yeah. I mean, the Stanford Innovation Center is amazing. I mean, I know it myself. It's incredible. Yeah. Stanford has great energy, and it's become the largest city in Connecticut after the last census. So it's doing something right.
The second largest. And you know, the businesses are going to come, you know, if nothing else comes out of this campaign and this election, is that Stanford in Connecticut is getting national and regional attention like they've never gotten before. And when you get the attention, that means good things will follow. And when people are looking for a new place to live, a new place to start their business, a new place to bring their existing business, I think Stanford and Connecticut is going to start getting front and center because of the notoriety of the last few months and the next 40 days ahead.
Are you doing a campaign event where people can come meet you in person if they want to?
Oh, I do about three a day, Lisa. It's been great. But again, we have such a diverse city that getting around to all the communities, we've been doing it. So, yes,
as a matter of fact,
there's another event tonight at the Italian Center where a lot of people will be there tasting a little wine, and I'll be there to meet and greet them.
I love the Italian Center. It's gorgeous. On Newfield Avenue, right? The one right on Newfield Avenue. Yeah,
exactly.
It's beautiful.
Yes, indeed.
Well, Bobby Valentine, thanks for joining us on the Lisa Wexler Show today. I look forward to meeting you in person one of these days, and good luck on the campaign trail. Really, good luck.
Thanks, Lisa. And I have one thing for you that no one, I never say this, but, you know, you're a 69 Met fan. The first game I ever got into was in 1969 playing for the Dodgers. I was a pinch runner when I went around the third in September. The third base coach told me to steal home. And I said, well, let me time the pitcher. I'll do it on the next pitch. And the hitter hit the ball on that pitch, so I never stole home. But if I stole home successfully and the Dodgers beat the Mets in that game, your wonderful 69 memories might have been crushed. So
oh my God. That's crazy. That's great. I love it. That's really great baseball trivia. Oh, my God. That's fantastic. That's, you know, the alternate universe of what coulda, shoulda, woulda. Wow. That's great, Bobby Valentine. Thank you so much. Thanks for being on the show today. We appreciate it. All right. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show. Sure. Coming up, Catherine Hayhoe, a brilliant climate scientist, one of the 100 most influential people, in fact, of the year, according to Time Magazine, is going to be talking with us about her case for hope and healing in a divided world. Let's get to know something we don't already know. Stay tuned.